You know, I didn't know what Netflix and chilling was all about. I thought that when you were chilling with Netflix, you were just chilling with Netflix. But there's more to it than that. Zach Attack, of course, my resident millennial, told me that. But Netflix is rocking and rolling, folks. They've got a new film out. It's called Counterpunch. It's called about 91, 92 minutes in length. But it's, you know, it talks about boxing in 2017. Three fighters at different stages of their careers, making sacrifices to pursue their dreams of becoming champions. Straight up, this is Counterpunch.
The movie is called Counterpunch. The director is Jay Bolger. He's on the line. Of course, Mr. Bolger, the movie's, talk to me about the movie, first of all.
Thank you for having me. I'm super honored and appreciative.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, Counterpunch, I talked with Peter Quill, and he's one of your stars. Of course, he is an active former champion, only lost one fight in 35 fights. I mean, an outstanding fighter. He had a great story to tell. He says this is sort of like an inside look into the world of boxing. Is that what it is?
You know, it's a real macro journey through all of the different kind of iterations of the best in the business. You know, I follow the captain of the Olympic team. I follow Cam F. Awesome. I followed Christopher Little B-Hop Colbert, who, you know, he could have gone to the Olympics, you know, according to many experts. And, you know, I think his record was something like 135-2 as an amateur. And he decides to turn pro and sign with Al Haymon. And then I also followed Peter Tuchaka Quillen, who starts the movie with giving up his belt. So, yeah, it's like all these different chapters in the career that I hope when put together form, you know, an entire life in the sport.
So at the L.A. Film Festival, Netflix, I mean, this movie's rocking and rolling.
Yeah, I think, you know, Netflix is translating the movie into 50-some languages. And, you know, I just went and played the movie in Iran. I've been in Iran for the last month. And, you know, I think it translates there, so it'll probably translate in America at least. So I'm really excited, yes. It took me a long time to make it, so I'm good to have it out.
So what brought this to conception? I mean, what fueled your thoughts to make this movie?
You know, I was an amateur boxer myself, and I thought about doing the scripted film, and then this kind of opportunity presented itself with Michael King, who was the he created Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, and he Oprah, and Michael King had this idea to do a boxing film on Netflix, and then I connected with Mandalay Sports Media and Mike Tolan. We just kind of started talking, and I found it super interesting to document the Al Haymon chapter of boxing, you know, which has alienated so many people but enriched so many boxers in a level that has previously no one could have ever dreamt, you know. Like Floyd Mayweather really obviously has changed the paradigm of what's possible, and, you know, maybe in an untenable way too for younger kids. And that's what I wanted to capture, was, you know, this real dichotomy and between the boxers and what the fans want, because so many boxing fans want to see something that is completely diametrically opposed to what the boxers want, which is to make a lot of money and to retire with a brain. And fans want to see Mickey Ward versus Gotti every day. And, you know, it's fun to watch, but it's hard to survive as a boxer, if that makes sense. And I think people who like that, those Ward Gottis, are probably better maybe served watching the UFC.
You know, you got a point there, but I was never the Gotti Ward type of guy. I won 4 Golden Gloves, so obviously I wasn't the Gotti Ward type of guy, and my face is still in one piece. So I really didn't consider them. I mean, people talk about those being epic fights and this and that. I just consider two guys standing in front of each other and throwing down. That doesn't require a whole lot of skill to me. I prefer skill.
Me too. I love Mayweather. I find myself every day scrolling through my Instagram feed and seeing highlights of Mayweather that I feel like we missed at the time. You know, like I felt like we all were so critical of him, and And even I went to the Pacquiao fight. I shot it. It's in the film. And it was really disappointing. But I felt like that was Pacquiao's fault. And, you know, felt like Mayweather does his thing. He's a real balletic master. And he's a completely unique individual inside and outside the ring. And he's not a perfect, maybe he's not the best representative of the sport in some ways, but athletically speaking, I find him incredibly impressive, and I don't regret saying I think he's one of the greatest ever. And
he is undefeated, and he has revolutionized the sport, no doubt about that. As has Al Haymon, and I tried to give Al Haymon all kinds of props when he came on, but you know, Al's a bit of how can I put this? An eccentric. He doesn't do interviews, doesn't pick up phones, he doesn't return emails. And, you know, it's sort of hard to communicate with people, especially when you have to go with one of his lower guys, which really some of those lower guys he's got are not brain surgeons.
The lower guys have very suffered under Al, and I've watched it. You know, Al's done great things for people like Peter Quillen.
Yeah.
He has been such a loyal supporter of people who have sacrificed things such as championships for their fighters. But, you know, the younger kid that I followed, Christopher Little Beehop Colbert, he has been pro for 2 years now, and he's fought once in a year. And he's a Terrence Crawford-style, ambidextrous, wonderful personality. You watch the film. Hopefully, if there's one thing I hope this film does, it's like maybe Al Haymon will watch the film and give this kid more fights. Because if you're lower on the Al Haymon totem pole, it's very difficult and increasingly more difficult given the, you know, he has less and less of these TV dates than he previously had. And, you know, I mean, the film is about that decision, for instance, that Peter Quillen made. Give up the belt for a lot of money, or, you know, do I take these belts and the aforementioned, glory, quote unquote glory, and seriously, you know, like, what is the value of being champion of the world today when there are three different belts and everybody knows that the best guy in the weight division hasn't fought the other guy? I mean, it has alienated fans, and I don't know. There's been a lot of shameful aspects of boxing, but I think it really all comes down to the lack of organization. You know, they should maybe, I don't know.
No union. You know,
the federal government maybe should get involved. I don't know, but it's...
Mr. Bulger. All right, when the Muhammad Ali Boxing Act was originally written back in the mid-1990s, okay, they had a lot of teeth in it. It was an effective bill. The attorney general was allowed to swear out warrants and issue indictments, all kinds of crazy stuff, okay? But Senator John McCain of Nevada took all the teeth, and Harry Reid of Nevada took all the teeth out of that bill, so there's no legislation. Can you believe that in 20 years, almost 20 years of existence, they've never, ever issued any detrimental paperwork against anybody regarding fixed fights or anything like that? I mean, come on, what are they doing? Are they asleep down there or what?
And then and you look at New York, you know, like there's so much tax dollars that they're missing out on, you know. Boxing is, you know, people want to love boxing. People want to see boxing. And, you know, boxing continues to fail them, you know, in the same way government does. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you know, maybe this Ward versus Kovalev, maybe I documented a chapter that is coming to an end. You know, maybe these last years have been all building up towards this moment where everyone is starting to fight each other. I don't know. I can only hope. But the chapter that I documented was empowering in a lot of ways for the fighters and, you know, alienating in a lot of ways for the fans. And I'm not sure what the perfect answer is, but I'm glad that Floyd Mayweather is no longer carrying the torch. And I look forward to someone else coming in. And that's not to say, like I said, I love his artistry. I just got really tired of hearing him talk.
Well, Mister, you know what? We've got Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin going in September the 16th. So that'll be the most watched fight of the year. So I think boxing is back. And back to Mr. Al Haymon. I give him tons of credit because you know why? He pays the fight. He does pay the fighters. And I love the fact he pays the fighters. The fact that, you know, a lot of guys I've seen 10, 15 years after boxing don't recognize me or really can't talk
yes.
that much, or have got physical or mental issues, or maybe they're broke. I mean, most guys are broke. I mean, what boxing has done for most guys is left them broken.
I don't know. I went, you know, the one of the greatest moments of the film was just like going to Sugar Ray Leonard's house, Oscar De La Hoya's house, and seeing boxers who have been able to retain their wealth, you know, because there's like three of them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I really pray that Mayweather doesn't end up broke himself. He seems to gamble a lot. I mean, it's just, you know, none of these guys end up well off, and that's just a true testament to, you know, the way that the system spits you out. And, you know, I don't know, the fans, look at the Mayweather versus McGregor thing. They all of these guys eventually come out of retirement. And it just so rarely ends on a positive note.
It rarely does. The only one that didn't come out of retirement was Rocky Marciano, and he thought about it a few times. Now, the movie is currently airing on Netflix, correct?
It's on Netflix on Friday, the 16th, and I think it's really different. This is really a film through the perspective of someone who's been in the ring and gotten his ass kicked and fully respects what these guys go through, and I tried my best, you know?
Well, Mr. Bolger, I appreciate you, and I respect you for putting this down on video, man. I'm going to see this flick. I can't wait till it comes out. I will remind all my listeners. I thank you so much. I really thank you for allowing us to spend some time with Mr. Krillin, too. That was great. So, Mr. Bolger, whether you're Whitey's relative or not, the best of luck to you and continued success, sir. The director of Counterpunch, Jay Bolger, on Sports Byline.
Now on Ring Talk, that airs at 11 a.m. Pacific time each and every Saturday and Sunday. The Sunday edition will feature Part 1 and Part 2. That's right. There's the Counterpunch Part 1. Mr. Bolger, you just heard about Part 2, his interview with the former WBO middleweight champion, Peter Quillin. Don't forget, Netflix is hot and happening.